Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Stories that we need to talk about here before 6 o'clock. It's Dukes and Bell. Abe's in for Mike today, and Mike's down at the F1 race down in Miami, so he'll be posting a lot of stuff down there from the weekend. It's funny, Abe, because we had a great conversation yesterday about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. What's her name? Jordan Hudson, I think her name is. And I had a guy hit me up. Who cares about this, man? I mean, Belichick. And I just literally pull up ESPN, and Gordon is our on-site engineer, and the title of this piece here is called Let's All Settle Down About Belichick's Girlfriend. And it just made me laugh because my response to him was everybody cares because it's so uncharacteristic of Belichick to be behaving the way that he is and allowing someone to control a situation. I think people just want to know what's going on. And by the way, it wouldn't be a big deal if Bill Belichick's life was like Kim Kardashian. If you knew everything that was going on, you wouldn't care. The fact that he's not let you into anything, you're kind of like, what's happening here? So it is fascinating. But now, yeah, I think our buddy Dan Wetzel wrote this story. Let's all calm down. Either way, man, I want to mention Greg Popovich stepping down as the Spurs coach. Mitch Johnson has been named the he was an interim coach when Pop was out this year, and now he's been named the head coach. But they did make that official earlier in the show. I was not sure. I had heard that, but I didn't know if it was official. It is. But Greg Popovich, one of the all-time great coaches in the history of the NBA, five-time champion. He coached some of the greatest players. Again, sort of like Phil Jackson, where people can say, well, he had Tim Duncan, he had Ginobili, he had Parker. Yeah, but you had to manage it. You still had to win. And then they went out and supplemented the stars with great pieces. Robert Horry was a part of those championships. You know, I mean, like Steven Jackson played on those teams. Like, they had a bunch of guys that came and went, but the core group was there. But Pop is stepping away. He had a stroke. For those who don't remember, last year, 24, stepped away, but he is now going to transition to a full-time role as the team's president of basketball operations.
Yeah, I think he's going to go down as people talk about coaches with multiple championships, stuff like that. And you mentioned Phil Jackson. I find that an interesting comparison because when you look at Phil, you say he had Jordan. He had Kobe. When you look at Greg Popovich, you felt like every title they've won was a team effort.
Yes.
It wasn't – not that they didn't have great players, right? Kawhi was a great player, and you mentioned Duncan and Robinson, stuff like that, too.
Well, when they beat the Heat, I'm glad you brought this up. Kawhi is a rookie on that team. He's guarding LeBron. Nobody even knew who Kawhi Leonard was.
It just felt like it was such an organizational championship.
Yeah.
And he was the head of that organization as opposed to, all right, you got LeBron, we're going to the finals, you know, we got some other great players too, or same with Jordan. They did it a little bit different. You just don't see it put together that way often. You look at some of the teams now that are maybe in the discussion for best team in the NBA. You look at OKC, it's going to kind of feel a little bit similar. This is going to feel like if they can win it all, but they've got SGA, and he is the MVP and one of the two or three best players in the league. Duncan was outstanding. How many years would we have said he was the number two or three best player in the league, though?
Most of his career.
You think so? I don't think so.
Yes. Duncan is the best power forward to ever play in the NBA.
I know, but I'm not talking about in his position. I'm talking about in the league. He was never number one.
No, but I think that was because his game was boring.
No, I get that too. Don't get me wrong. Duncan is,
as Shaq says, you know, the big fundamental. I mean, he was so surgical with the way he did his offense. I mean, like, you think about it now, right? The off the glass, the touch, the he had every move in the post that you could imagine.
He's also the only guy in the league that did it that way, so defenders never. They just didn't adjust to defending Duncan.
Yeah,
I found it. His career, his on-court career was fascinating.
But no flash. And
no.
That's just not who he was. And so I think if he was that flashy guy, he probably get
maybe
more recognition.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think Tim Duncan, when you talk about like in years where he should have been maybe the MVP or either the second best player in the league, I could 10 out of whatever how many years he played. He was that dominant.
But he was, and I agree. But his whole career was covered by Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, right?
Yes.
Like there was no gaps
end,
there.
End of Jordan, yep, Kobe, Shaq, yes.
He was never the best player, as viewed by,
agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And you could probably start to argue when did Shaq come in. He was probably never viewed necessarily as better than Shaq at times in dominant seasons. And you look around, he just wasn't necessarily viewed that guy. But the performance and that whole team, by the way, it just the role players who would not have been Hall of Famers elsewhere, they just wouldn't have been. Like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, they're not Hall of Famers if they're not in San Antonio under Pop. They're just not.
I agree with that. Also, we forget he hired Becky Hammon.
Yep.
Which was a monumental move. She is the coach of the Las Vegas Aces, but she spent 7 seasons as an assistant under Pop and really opened the door for a lot of women in those ranks to make their way into the NBA. And I think, you know, if she wants to, Becky Hammon can probably be a coach of the NBA if she wanted to at some point. But that's another legacy moment for Pop. Either way, he's stepping away 29 years. Wimby wrote a nice piece on social media talking about 29 years, thanking mm-hmm. him for his wisdom. And you said real quick as we wrap this up, the Spurs are an attractive team. Like, Mitch Johnson's getting a team. How far are they away from competing? Now, the West is a beast, but how far
right.
are they away from competing?
Well, you say it's a beast, right? The Lakers are the 3 seed, but that changes within 2 years. LeBron will retire at some point. I just feel like it's probably not next year.
You don't believe
year.
In soft-body Luka, huh?
I love Luka, but they're not the 3 seed in 2 years.
Okay.
Or whenever LeBron retires, I don't know if the Golden State is falling apart. Not right now, but I mean,
well, the run is
there's going to be changes.
Yeah.
There's going to be changes.
Yeah.
Clippers are competitive, but they're old too. It's teams like OKC. It's teams like the Rockets, some of these young cores that are going to be there. You've got a guy that is potentially one of the top 5, if not top 3 or top 1 best players in the NBA in Wemby. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy and coming off the injury, but you've got that piece. Central, you've got an all-star point guard central, and now you've got an up-and-coming rising star in Stephon Castle, just beat out Reza Schaefer, rookie of the year. You've got 3 pieces, and I'll say young. I know De'Aaron Fox isn't a spring chicken anymore, but he's not that old either. You've got 3 central pieces you can build around for a decade.
It's an
attractive gig.
It is. There's no doubt. Braves and Dodgers tonight, starting a series this weekend over at Truist Park. You wanted to ask me about the horses, the ponies. Let's do it, man.
Yeah, Kentucky Derby's on Saturday, and you know me. I watch everything. I'll watch the race, but I'm having a tough time feeling like it's a big deal this year.
What?
And it's not just this year.
The 151st running of the Kentucky Derby is not a big deal?
Is it?
It is.
Is it?
It is always a big
You've
deal.
You've been invited to a derby party this year?
I have one at my house.
Thanks for the invite, bro.
Well, I mean, I say that.
Come on, man.
Yes, yes. Well, you asked. I'm just saying. Yes, of course.
I don't know, man. I just don't feel like it's getting talked about. It kind of sneaks up every year.
It
right?
does.
And,
it
and
does.
It just doesn't feel like a big deal to me this year.
I'll say this.
And it's been trending, by the way, it's not just this year. It's been trending in this direction for a number of years.
I think it is a big deal. It should be on, if you're a sports fan, on your bucket list, just to go experience it one time. We were up at Churchill Downs in the fall. My wife and I were up there. We went up and won a couple of bucks. Just going on, it was like a random Thursday night, and it was fun. and we've been multiple times. The point is, the Run for the Roses is still a big deal. I just think because of the controversy maybe with some of the horses, the trainers, has that taken away from the nostalgia of what this race is? I don't know. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, the best, as they say, the best 2 minutes in sports, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, and I don't think I've changed as a sports fan.
I'm going to watch.
But I'm going to watch too, but I feel like I know like two horses coming in. I feel like in other years I've known six horses.
Okay, but isn't that every year? I mean, like, honestly, I'm sitting here as you speak, and I'm looking at the odds of some of these horses, and the one that's the most compelling, or at least they're saying, and again, I don't bet horses all the time. It's the Kentucky Derby is the one time that I go, all right.
Yeah.
And by the way, my partner, got to give him props, man. Mike and I have been out in Las Vegas during this race, and he has been like, let's bet on the horses. And I'm like, eh. And this dude has hit monster money and killed it. But this Luxor Cafe has 15-1 odds. And the reason why this is a horse that they're talking about, because I think it has lineage to one of the horses that won this race a few years back. And I'm just, oh, there it is. The Son of American Pharaoh. So this horse, Luxor Cafe, is the son of 2015 Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. So they're talking about this horse a lot, and that's why it's getting a lot of, you know, this horse is getting a lot of love. It had strong finishes in Japan, but I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. I just think every year, I don't watch horse racing enough, but I will watch the Kentucky Derby because it is the biggest event.
I think it's a big deal when Saturday at, when does it go off? 6:50 or
seven.
Whatever it is.
So, yeah, I think
Saturday, when it comes on, I think it's a big deal for those moments. The Super Bowl-like pregame show that they run out there.
Oh, it's nuts.
For 9 hours.
It is.
You will get me watching 3 minutes of coverage.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 seconds pre-race, the race, and 30
seconds.
And that
is weird for somebody
I'm
who.
I'm just out.
It's weird for somebody who loves to watch this kind of stuff. I mean, like, you love. Abe literally had on some kind of street fighting from Japan.
It was karate combat. They were in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, exactly.
I'm going to watch ONE FC later tonight.
You had this on during the show, and you're telling me you won't watch the pre-game
I can't, dude,
Kentucky Derby.
The pre for the Derby.
You watch the weirdest stuff.
I know, but here's the thing. I want the sport. I don't care about your fluff piece. I don't care about your heartbreaking story.
Okay.
I don't care about any of that. Right. I want the event.
Well, you're gonna
I don't watch any Super Bowl pregame.
You're going to get it on Saturday. You will watch it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love the fact that the hype surrounding the horses, and then when it happens, and there's always a letdown, too. I mean, that's the thing. You know, they'll hype two of these horses or three of these horses up, but it never happens the way you expect. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're out here at Atlanta United, the training grounds. Real quick before we wrap up, we're going to hand things over to Turtle. Turtle's coming up at 6.
Yeah.
Make sure you stay here. Today was the media game. How would you assess it?
I think importantly, no one got any serious knocks.
That's
no
true.
Serious injuries.
That's true.
It's always like a real concern for people who are out of shape, up in age.
That's true.
No one had to be carted off. No dry, none of the magic spray ice stuff. So that's good. Well played match. It went to the final moments and ended up in a penalty shootout. Even the penalty shootout was tied after the first five takers. And so it went to sudden death PKs. So really fun. Team Resurgence came out ahead over Team Connector.
You were on Team Connectors.
I was on Team Connectors.
All right.
Still frustrated with the second half performance of my squad. Something we're going to have to address and work on. It's kind of like JJ Redick said.
Yeah, but didn't
there's
you call
some off-season
squad
fitness that needs to be addressed.
Oh,
we need to be ready to play that second 30 minutes.
Are you know? Saying there were some people who weren't ready for the second half on your team and that they were out of shape?
Well, look, we take a 4-1 at one point, and it felt like a lot of people were celebrating way too early. And from that point forward, they had guys who kept focus, stayed in the game, and we lost our focus, and
that's what happened.
Had to take it to shoot. I mean, we were lucky to get it to PKs. I was out there killing as much time as I could.
But they came back and won.
Well, after they came back, I was still worried. It was like 3 minutes left. I'm like, these bums on my defense ain't going to hold for 3 minutes.
All right. You were in goal today, though, right?
I was, yeah. I played well.
Is that how you stated?
Look, at my level of performance, Carl, at my level of performance, the only job you have in goal is make one or two saves you maybe shouldn't, and no goals get in that definitely should not be in.
They scored four.
Yeah. They were cracked. They were great shots. You have to give credit to the opposing team.
You know what? Hey, make sure you keep this day-day for future reference.
They know.
Okay.
They know. They had to bring out stuff. I don't know if Goose was making a save on one of those.
On one of them. You know what? Enough. We got to get out of here.
Two.
We got to get out of here. Let's clear our throats, Day-Day. I have never seen a teammate throw his people under the bus like Abe today. Earlier today, he said, I was the only one giving 100% on my team. Then he comes back later in the show and basically says, these people were out of shape. Unbelievable. Hey, Day-Day, back in the studio, man. Great work. I know O was off today. O, congratulations, and we're looking forward. Him and his wife, they're counting down to the new baby, man. So big shout-out to O. Mike is down in Miami. He'll be back on Monday. Lots of stories and lots of fun. Make sure you're here at 2 o'clock. And, Abe, thank you for filling in, man. Appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here, man. It was really fun, and look forward to doing it more. Hopefully next time with both calf muscles working.
Oh, goodness. Gordon, G-Money, thank you for being our on-site engineer. All right, stay right there. Turtles got you squared away. Big weekend, and we're back talking about it with you 2 o'clock on Monday. All right, Abe, clear your throat.
Yeah, look, it's a big series for the Braves, and I know Grant said you don't put too much into one result, but you already got embarrassed playing the Dodgers once. You are now back at home. It cannot happen again. It's not your ideal pitching matchups overall. No Sale, no Strider going against these guys. Got to find a way to make it respectable at home.
No doubt about it. Hey, I don't know if they win or lose tonight. What I do know is the perception of him being a dirty player, and I'm talking about Dylan Brooks, has just been enhanced. When asked about it a few days ago, if he was intentionally trying to hurt Steph Curry's thumb, who he's been dealing with a thumb injury, he said, yeah, anything goes. Look, even if I was playing that way, I wouldn't be dumb enough to tell you. Tonight, the referees should be looking out for Dylan Brooks and his cheap shots. We'll see if it makes a difference as Golden State tries to finish this thing. Hey, enjoy the weekend, everybody. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're playing goalie in next year's media match.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.